forgiven, because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned, I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me, because you died and arose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me, because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how could it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well.
Your spirit is within me because
you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that my King would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. Amazing love, how can it be that my King would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I honor you. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening's done, is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roam, and strive to have some troubled soul. Love's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only life that will endure is the one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. I'll help someone in time of need, and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick, the poor and weak, and the words of kindness to them speak. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down a weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. Down here my steps grow weary, and the road gets rough and alone. Sometimes I feel I'm all alone, but I still carry on. For a brighter day is coming, and it thrills my heart to know there'll be a payday at the end of the road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road, when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare. Put on an all-fine robe, I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Some folks are planning future as they search for earthly gain. They're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in the vain. So I'm laying up my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there's a payday at the end of the road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare. Put on an all-fine robe, I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Some folks are planning future as they search for earthly gain. They're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in the vain. So I'm laying up my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there's a payday at the end of the road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare. Put on an all-fine robe, I'll find my payday at the end of the road. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare. Put on an all-fine robe, I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me.
Just going to bump right into it. The world is not ready for that great judgment day that's coming. It's up the road here. Only 3 more years. Less than 3 years. That we get it right. Simply because Psalm 119, verse 104. Your precepts give me discernment. Therefore, I hate all deceitful actions. Your word is a lamp to my feet to walk by. Your word is a lamp to walk by and a light to illuminate my path.
Heavenly Father, once again, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. That's too numerous to mention, Lord. When we look back and we take inventory of how you've led and guided us and brought us through this hour of time, Lord, now when you've given us a commission, you've given us a mandate that we should expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And we find out there's so many works of darkness, and I was wondering why I hate these false ways and these deceitful actions, Lord. Simply because we're surrounded with it in these closing days of time. It goes by unnoticed by the multitudes. But you've kept us sober and vigilant in these closing days of time that we can see exactly what you meant when you said, when you gave us your word and you allowed us to see the condition the world is in, with tremendous deception of every description, Lord. We just pray you'll help us to say the things you put on our hearts, say it in such a way that it'll resonate in the hearts of the people, whoever one cares about their eternal destiny, Lord. You just told us to put it out there. We're not responsible for what people do with it, Lord. We're just responsible for what you've given, the mandate that you've given us, Lord. I pray you'll help us to be faithful and true, and that we'll go and enjoy the job that you've given us, Lord. We ask you to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We know we come across pretty rough sometimes, and it appears that we're trying to brainwash people and trying to get them out of these compounds. But no, we're just letting you know what this whole thing is all about. We just want to make it abundantly clear. It is not our job to go in there and defuse and destroy these compounds, these cults. It's not our job. Our job is simply to expose the spirit behind it, and we just pray that we don't give the wrong impression that we're trying to get you out of there. We're just laying it out there, just like Brother Brenham said when he came to Brother Jackson. Brother Jackson, I want you to go speak for me. And then he kept saying, well, they're not going to believe me. And he said it three times, I want you to go speak for me. And that's all we're doing. We're just speaking for the Lord here. And we're putting it out there. What people do with it, that's their business. Because when we tell people what they do and what they should do, they put the brakes on. They do exactly the opposite. But we just want to make it abundantly clear that what we're saying here is 100% accurate. Sometimes the Lord will come down and visit me. He came down here Sunday morning. I couldn't sleep. Got up about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't sleep. And it just kept coming over and over. Just what we're trying to say here. We just want to make it abundantly clear. We're just putting the things, the truth out there, pushing away all that deception, that people have been deceived especially in the last, since 1520, just like I said the other day. I did not know that this was that serious, but when I went back and I reread it about the church age of, when I went back and I read the church age of Sardis, I'll just read it to you here. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. See, that's what Jesus said in his right hand. It was the 7 stars. And the 7 stars are the 7 angels. I know thy works. It's Jesus speaking here. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold on fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come. I'll read it in a different translation here. To the angel of the church in Sardis, that's back in 1520. That was the church in Martin Luther was the church age messenger, that he was the vocal cord of this here angel that spoke to that, unto the angel of the church of Sardis. Unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write the following. This is the solemn pronouncement of the one who holds the 7 stars, the spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your deeds. I know what's going on down there. That you have a reputation that you're alive, but in reality you're dead. That's talking to Sardis now. After a while, that's what they evolved into. They became dead. They didn't hold on to the things that they were given. Wake up then and strengthen what remained that was about to die, because I have not found thy deed completely in the sight of my God. Therefore, remember what you received. What did Sardis receive? They received the just shall live by faith. And before you know it, They let that thing slip, and then comes these tugs. Therefore, remember what you have received and heard. We know what you received. We know what Martin Luther's mission was. The just shall live by faith. And by that, he put that whole Roman Catholic Church out of commission. That, like I said the other day, 100 years later, they threw that Pope in prison, and he died in prison. That's the culprit here. Therefore, remember what you received and heard and obey it. And repent, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will never know at what hour I will come against you. But you have a few individuals in Sardis who have not stained their clothes. There were some that did stay faithful and true. And they will walk with me dressed in white because they are worthy. The one who conquers will be dressed like them in white clothing, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will declare his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who has an ear, better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, there were seven churches. There were more than seven churches in Asia Minor. But out of these seven, they're going to set the stage for the whole grace age for the 2,000 years. And back in 1520, that church age of Sardis, there was really a church age of Sardis. Back when Paul was back there, when John was talking, because he sent these letters to the seven church ages in Asia Minor, that they were types and shadows what's going to come. And like I say, 1520, along here comes Martin Luther, and that angel took his vocal cord, his lips, and he began to speak, the just shall live by faith. And therefore, he put that whole commission out of that whole Roman Catholic Church out of commission, and just exactly backs it up with scripture. He was dealt a deadly wound, that Roman Catholic thing. That beast that was dealt a deadly wound, but here in his end time, that deadly wound is coming to life, and here again it's back to business again. Like the Roman Catholicism is on the forefront, but now it's not only the Roman Catholic system, it's all these cults, all these denominations, all these harlots have now amalgamated themselves together to go against the true Christians. It's just that simple. See, you and I got the picture so crystal clear. We just want to make it abundantly clear. We're not telling people what to do. We're just putting it out there. People can do with it what they want. And we're just taking the reps off. We're peeling that, We're peeling that onion back. You keep peeling that onion back because in the center of it is a germ. And that's all we're doing. We're getting after that germ, after that deception that's out there, been out there since 1520, 60, 1530, along comes these deceivers. I know I'm going to offend a lot of people, a lot of these diehards, a lot of these cults that think that living in a commune is the way to happen. It says very clearly, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And along comes Martin, along comes Jacob Hutter, along comes Andrea Ehrenbrei, along comes Peter Riedemann, and they set the standard down, completely defying everything that the Bible says, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them whom I will. He did not send Martin Luther, or he did not send Jacob Hutter, he did not send Andrea Ehrenbrei. They're agents of Satan to defuse everything that Martin Luther ever told. Because right here it says it's just as clear as crystal. It says very clear here what he told them, what they have to hold on to. Things that I told you. He said here, therefore remember what you received and heard and obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will never know what hour I can. He came and he told them, the just shall live by faith, and along 5, 10, 15 years later, along here they come. Here comes the Andrea Ehrenbreis, and here comes these cult leaders. All of a sudden they're taking the church, they're taking the people back into the dark ages, and they set up the same spirit, the same system that the Vatican had in the dark ages. That same legalistic control factor, it's the same infrastructure that the Pope said in the dark ages, because they got they don't call him a Pope, they call him an Iltister. See, now what the devil is doing, he's sitting back and he watches how Martin Luther is putting that whole Satan's thing out of commission that he had going on in the Dark Ages, and he takes people like Peter Riedema and Andreas Ehrenpreis. I read their history, and Jakob Hüther, and he brings in this legalistic system. But now, what he does now, he puts on a very religious and sophisticated cloak, and he works through deception, and he makes it look like a peer. That's the only way to live. It's coming to the living. Jesus was with his disciples, and he had coming to live. They had all things come, and then they did pervert the scripture. They just take a little bit out. The Bible says all those that believed had all things come. But here now, everybody that comes under their umbrella is qualified to go to heaven. But it's deception. It's first-class deception. I didn't see it that just about a week ago. The Lord moved on me to go back and go right back to the foundation where all these cults come from, all these movements, all these communities living. I went after that Julius Kubasek down from the east, and wondering what became of him. And I started studying his history. And here he's going from place to place, trying to find a commune that will settle that hunger in his soul. And he ended up going over to Israel, and he's dead now, but that movement is still looking for that something, and it's been written all along, way back in the church age of Sardis, when God spoke, when that angel spoke to Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. All they would have had to do was hold on to that thing for dear life. No, they go after these legalistic systems, and they get dragged right back into that Roman Catholic system. And if you go check out that Hutterite system, if you analyze it, and you look at it through the microscope of reality, and you put it in your database, it's exactly what the Catholic Church did. It's first-class socialism, exactly what the Church did. What the Vatican did in the Dark Age, they got their Pope, like I say, they got their confession booth where you go and confess to the Pope and to the priest and all that garbage that they get coming in here. When the Bible completely says you have one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ the righteous. That temple, when Jesus said it's finished, that curtain temple door, and now you have access to go direct into the Holy of Holies, and you can confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they come up with that same pattern, that same carbon copy, that same image that they made, that they had back in the Dark Ages. You got your Pope, you got your cubby hole that you go in and confess your faults, your sins, so to speak, what they did back in the Old Testament. And here the devil, he gets a little bit of scripture, and he deceives the masses, and he takes them out to hell and death, and they don't even know it. They're completely closed.
And they missed the whole point of the grace age, what Jesus came to do. He was the forgiveness. That sacrifice that was made for the forgiveness of sins, not going to some priest. But you can see how the spirit of the Antichrist works. When you go back to the early church, that white horse rider, that was riding to deceive people. And the first thing that he attacked was the revelation that God gave to the early church, the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the keys that Jesus gave to Peter. And he gave those keys to Peter, and on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins." And so that's what that whole key was for, to open up that. And the devil knew what he need if he wants to get to Christianity, he has to take that water baptism out. And he sent in the Antichrist spirit. It could confuse the picture. And those bishops came up with their ideas. And all of a sudden, there were so many mixed thoughts on water baptism. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way what the devil did as soon as God, the Reformation was on. Like before Martin Luther, there was Huss and Wycliffe. And Martin Luther just came along and he took that torch and ran with it. Because God gave the actual revelation on it. Up until then, Huss and Wycliffe, what they did was expose the Catholic Church, their wrongful ways, and how many things they have wrong. And then Martin Luther just emphasized on it, but he also received the revelation that will combat that diabolicness of what the devil had done to take the church into the dark ages. And that's why God restored that just to live by faith. That's the justification part of the Christian walk. And then you can see what the devil did. And he sent in all these, the Antichrist spirit was right there, bringing in all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of confusion, that everybody went a certain direction, this way, that way. And that's where all these movements came about, the Anabaptist movements and these movements that you can see out there. If they would have followed the stream that God had, to just shall live by faith, and that stream would have led them right into the sanctification part of that Christian walk, and then right into the glorification. Those were the three measures that that woman hid, that the Roman Catholic Church hid. And you can see how the devil works. The same way he worked in the early church when God gave that that water baptism, and the same way when Martin Luther came on the scene, God gave that just to live by faith. He did the same thing in the same way when that the Pentecostal movement. There were so many line of thoughts. People went all kinds of directions. When God started restoring truths, like when he started to restore the water baptism in Jesus' name, the Pentecostals, they divided because the oneness came along, and there were so many divisions right there, because that's how the Satan likes it. He likes to bring in divisions. And then he has people so scattered that they don't know. And that's why when David talks about the precepts of God, if you want to know what the precepts of God are, that it says here, a precept is a commandment or direction, a directive given as a rule of conduct. See, we always quote that scripture, this is life eternal, that they will believe on them whom I will send. See, if you follow that stream that God has, you follow Martin Luther, you follow Wesley, the Calvin, Knox, Wesley, and then you come right into the Pentecostal hour. See, those are the precepts of God's word. And when you will follow them, then it will lead you right to the ministry of Brother Brenner, because that is the precept that God gave in the Laodicea church hour. And if you follow that, that precept will lead you right into this is life eternal.
Amen. See, we try to make it simple. And up until 1520, the Catholic Church was ruling the whole Christian era through deception, all that garbage that they had. But then 1520, it's like a giant ship. It takes a while to turn them around. Mm-hmm. In 1520, the Lord told that pilot that we're going to turn that ship around and go back to the original. Now, if you could take up to 1520, that ship was going the wrong direction. Now what God is doing, he's shifting gears and he's taking this ship around. We right back where it originated from, right back to the early church. And that's what the ministry of Brother Brenham, to take the people back to the early church, back to the faith of our fathers. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet to send the hearts of the children back to the apostolic faith of our fathers. And that's exactly what that ship did. He turned it around and he took it right back. And one of the key things is one of the last things Brother Branham really stressed was water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was baptizing people down at the Ohio River, a voice from heaven spoke to him, and John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so are you being sent to forerun my second coming. And that's the whole ministry of Brother Branham, was to turn us back to the faith of the early church. And you and I, we tapped into that when we found out about it, and then we were faithful and true. And here, Lord, behold, the Lord gives us the commission, gives us the job description, is to hold on to the things that we've been lost throughout the ages, and our people have fallen asleep, and that whole thing went to sleep again, like it says here, to the church age,
Church Age of Ireland, that he was given orders to strengthen that which they had lost. Go back, that the just shall live by faith, and then we did that, and then we found out John Wesley came on that, to justify a holy living, a holy life, and along comes Brother Branham to turn us right back to the apostolic faith of our fathers. And we're just putting it out there, so people that are walking in deception, all these hundreds and hundreds a year, they're walking in deception, that they think they're going out, they're going to heaven, and along comes these beta rhythm on people, and now what you have is that Hutterite system, and all these cults, all these Amishes, all these swingly people, and all these cults, all these community type living, the Woodcresters and the Amish and the Hutterites and all these movements out there are nothing but agents of Satan. Just that simple. And we're just, what we're doing, we're just taking the peeling. Mm-hmm. We're just taking the layers off that onion, because in the center of that onion, there's a germ that we want. Mm-hmm. And behind it is the germ, and the germ was in the grace age, water baptism in Jesus' name. But that era is over. It's no use go out there getting baptized, because the grace age is over. But now here, what the Lord is doing, He's pouring all His grace and His mercy on the human race. Only come and partake of the waters of life freely. That's why there's such a tremendous reward for those people that can only hear what we're saying, and they accept it and they go, because it's an invitation to the marriage supper of life. That's all that's left. There's no conditions. There's nothing involved. All you got to do is believe it. And believe you me, if you and I would not have volunteered to say, Lord, here we are, use us for your honor and for, do it as you see fit, because believe you me, them Hutterites, they would go out exactly where the Indians go. They'll all be going out to hell and death. But here the Lord raises up to bring out the living word in these closing days of time, so that they don't have to bump into the day of the Lord that's coming up the road, where they're going to have to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, protect us. Because just 3 years from now, that scripture is going to be activated with the people of the planet Earth. They're going to cry out to the rocks to fall on us, and to the hills that protect us from Him that's coming back. And that's all we're doing. We're putting our life on all our resources, everything that we have and do and say, is just to protect them, prevent them from having to say to the rocks fall on us, and to the mountains protect us. That's why we're putting this thing out there. But people do it, and that's their business, because that day is coming just as sure as that flood can, just as sure as everything that can, that's going to come, that's written in the Word of God. Up the road here, it's the ending of civilization, as you and I know. It's the end of Satan's 6,000 years reign, just 3 years up the road here. And then all these scriptures, the day of the Lord kicks in, and where they will say to the rocks fall on us, and to the mountains, hide us from men that's coming back to rule and reign. And it's just that simple. God has made that blueprint. He made that program back when He counseled with Himself before the foundation of the world. The Bible was written before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Everything that was a done deal back in the mind of God. And then He said He's going to see to it that it's going to happen exactly the way He got it in the Scripture. We know just up the road here, 3 years from now, that's why Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We read that script. We read the Bible all our life. The Lord woke us up 6 o'clock in the morning, and practically every morning, to start reading that Word and saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And now here it pays out. Now we know what we're talking about. Just up the road, there's coming that day that things, that Scripture will be activated. They'll say to the rocks, fall on them. These religions, these Leonard from Del, these Joe from Cyprus, they have only one thing to look forward to. If they do not change their way and accept this here message, this end time message, where it says, that invitation to the marriage supper of Lamb. You can go and read it in Matthew 22 if you want to know the truth of it. You can read it yourself, just like you and I. We went digging. We went searching. Like I said the other day, I was wondering about where did these cults come from? Where did they find scripture? And I went back into history. Everybody can do what we're doing. You can just press a button on your iPhone, and it'll take you right back. All you got to do is know his name, Julius Kubasak. And it'll give you the whole history. Then they get the whole history from that
Woodcrest movement. Then you get the history from the Jakob Hudemann one, just by pressing one button, and it'll give you the whole history. And what we're doing here now, when the Sardis went to sleep in the Lazi, and comes the Jakob Hudemann and the Drian Erepa, and they started up to bring the church back exactly to where it was in the Dark Ages. Only by now, he puts on a nice, smooth, Christian-looking, deceptive coat, and make it look so holy and so righteous. And they come along with a way better program than Martin Luther ever taught to have. You gotta show brotherly love. You gotta show this love thing. And the only way you can show it is by living commune in a commune type setting. It's a pile of garbage. That's a lie right out of the pit of hell. Because what all that does is drag you back into socialism. Back into the valley, back into the Dark Ages. That's all it does. And we're just putting it out there. You could take it or leave it. You could believe us if you want. If you don't, well, you got only one thing looking forward to, the day of the Lord, where you say to the rocks, fall on us and to the mountains, cover us from him that's coming back to rule and reign. We're just putting the covers off, and we're telling you exactly what's been going on for the last umpteen years.
It's no different than what the Seventh-day Adventists, they capitalized on something like the Sabbath, and then they started to worship on the Sabbath, and they think that's the way to do it. But that's just not right. We know that Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. And the same way with these commune people, they capitalize on something in the Bible and it's really in a perverted way. It's not really, when you will look at all the churches in Asia Minor, they were towns. Like when you will look at Ephesus, you can still go there and you can look at the ruins that are still there. It was like a city. Mm-hmm. And then there was a group of people there that were believers. Mm-hmm. And that's why the church of Ephesus. Mm-hmm. There was a church in Ephesus. But these people all had a profession. They all had a job. And then they contributed with whatever they had to the church, but they all had an out. They weren't living in a commune setting. See, then people take these things and there's they're misconceptions of things, and then they have this commune. But if you follow the precepts of God, this commune setting is not necessary. Because if you will look at the overall picture of what America was founded on, North America, it was founded on serving God and country. It's not living in a commune. That is deception. Mm-hmm. It's just plain deception. And I was talking to this one guy the other day, and I said one thing that they do not agree with the colony, it does not line up with the Word of God. He was saying that there's nothing wrong with the structure. It's the individual heart. That if that individual lives for God, that's where it's at. There's nothing wrong with the structure of the Hutterite colony. Well, I said, I disagree with you. The water baptism is not lined up with the Word of God. That is not part of the principle of God and the precepts of God. Mm-hmm. And right there, you can find something wrong with the structure. And you could go on and on and on and on. You can go on that in the early church, it was a fellowship of believers. Mm-hmm. The Hutterites are not a fellowship of real believers. It is like anything out there. It's like you take the city of Winnipeg, right? And in the city of Winnipeg, there might be some Christians. And then they gather. Mm-hmm. That's how the early church lived. You cannot classify the whole Hutterite colony as Christians. That's impossible because you're not born a Christian. The Lord saves you and then you become a Christian. It's not you're born in America and you're an American. Mm-hmm. That's rightfully so because you become American citizen. But you're not, when you're born in a colony, you're not born a Christian.
Yeah.
because I was the Christian until I was 21. The Lord came by my way and he saved me. Mm-hmm. And that classified me as a Christian. And when you're born in a Hutterite colony, you're classified as a Hutterite. Mm-hmm. And that's all that Hutterite, that commune will produce, is a Hutterite. The same way with the Mennonites, they will produce another Mennonite. It's just the principle of something. That's how it works.
Amen.
And I was trying to tell this guy that the structure is not right. The foundation of the Hutterite colony right there is not right. It's not based on the water baptism that Peter, when he stood up at the day of Pentecost and said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the real baptism that Jesus instructed the early church to be baptized in. And there are so many other things you could name, but that's the foundation of it all. If the foundation is wrong, then you're going to have a lot of other things, because going to the priest and repenting, that takes you back to the Old Testament, mm-hmm. before Jesus came. And he tore away that middle curtain that was mm-hmm. between the tabernacle there to go to the Holy Holy. And these people are still have many concept of the Old Testament. So they're still living in the law age in many ways. They have never entered into the grace age.
See, what happens is back in the day, they take that scripture. They had all things common. Those that had houses, they got their picture painted that they sold all their houses. No, mm-hmm. this guy had five houses. What he did, he sold four of them, and then he kept the one, and that's the one, because he had too many houses.
That's
so he
right.
gave it to people that didn't have nothing, because mm-hmm. back then there were a lot of poor people. So instead of having five houses, he just sold four of them, and then he kept his own house. To prove it to you, if you go to Acts, the last chapter, the last verse, and Paul paid rent in his own house that he had rented. If it was that commune type living, Paul, the church age manager, he wouldn't have had to pay rent, but he had mm-hmm. to go out throughout the day making tarps and making canvas.
Right.
They did that for a living so that he would have money to pay for his rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. And then in the evening, he went out preaching. And then, they got that whole thing screwed up. They got the thinking that you can't even earn one penny. And they got people so brainwashed that they as much as have one penny in your pocket, you're doing the unpardonable sin. No, they had houses. They had lots of money, so they brought it to the apostles, and then the apostles shared it out, even Stephen, and gave those people that had nothing, just to be, because they were believers now. They're going in the same direction. They had fellowship with believers. There's a lot of people living in that era that were unbelievers, and they didn't give them their money.
That's
they didn't
right.
give their dead houses to them. They uh-huh. give it to the fellowship of believers that were living in Ephesus and in Corinth and in different places. And then, like I say, they had five houses, six houses, maybe more, and then they kept one house for themselves. See, they got this whole thing all messed up. Satan used that to pervert it, and people, they're not sober, they're not educated, they just believe whatever these tongues up there tell them. And they got them so brainwashed that they think it's the unpardonable sin if you go up and say anything against them. See, but we got mm-hmm. their number. We know exactly what this whole thing is about. But we just want to make it abundantly clear that this, what we're saying here, is 100% accurate. And all we got to do is put it out there for people. If they want it, fine. If not, they got only one thing looking forward to, and that's the day of the Lord. It'll say to the rocks falling up, to the mountains covered. It's only 3 years from now. It's not that far off anymore. 3 years, they go pretty quick. And if you miss that invitation to mercy of the Lamb, you're going to see everything that we're saying here is going to happen exactly to the T, because we found it. Our word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We found these things in the scripture, and we were brought to them exactly that man from Forest River College that had out of the body experience, and he told us that Hutterite thing is nothing but first-class deception. And it put us on a search, and we went on a search, and we put our life on the line,
And we found that that thing that he would have found, the end, the message of Brother Branham and the ministry of Brother Branham, and then it would have took him right exactly where it took us. It would have took him right to the ministry of Brother Jackson, and then if they would have been faithful, it would take him right to where you and I are today to bring out that living water and to send out that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple. And we're just putting it out there for people. If you want it, fine. But see what happened. Satan has them under that fear factor. You know, he controls them with fear. They're afraid what that Leonard and these tubs will do to them. And then behind it is the spirit of Satan, because Satan works through fear. Fear not him that kills the body, but fear him who has power, once the body is killed, to destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's the one that we fear. We call their bluff. I remember back in the day, I went to this prayer meeting, and I knew before I went to that prayer meeting, that's the unpardonable sin in that compound. If I as much as even think about going to that prayer meeting, I might as well commit how to write suicide, really. And when I went to here they come. They put me in the out simply because I went to this prayer meeting. They were afraid I'm going to uncover that thing. And I started laying back the layers of that onion because I want that germ that's inside it. It took a lifetime, and to this day, we're still peeling back the onions. We're exposing that thing for what it is. And that's all. Mm-hmm. That's the only job description we have, and we're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. There's no better joy for me to be about the Father's business.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just want to talk about your wonderful precepts, Lord, and you give us the precepts of your word, Lord, and one of them is, this is life eternal, that they may believe whom you will send, Lord, and we know through the book of Revelation that you held those seven stars in your right hand, and those seven stars are a direction that you're going to take the church, and they're going to lead you right into this is life eternal, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, let these words speak to the hearts of the people, Lord, that you have principles and precepts that you go by, and people can follow them, Lord, and they'll have life eternal, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.